US security officials have released their report into the murder of dissident Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. To no one's surprise, it found the murder was almost certainly ordered by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The Saudi government denies the prince's involvement. But the intelligence report is arguably a bigger test for President Joe Biden and his human rights credentials. Because before winning the presidency, he promised a foreign policy that was more ethical than Donald Trump's. So what's happened? Robin Wright is a top foreign affairs journalist and a contributing writer at The New Yorker, where she writes about the Khashoggi affair. And she reminded me of what Joe Biden had said about the Saudis.
As a candidate, Joe Biden had talked about Saudi Arabia as a pariah state. He said the country had no redeeming social value. And he was very explicit in condemning specifically the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman as having a key role and responsibility in the murder and eventual dismemberment of Jamal Khashoggi.
So he drew a very sharp distinction between his position, should he become president, and that of the Trump administration. Because, Robin, just remind us, how had the Trump administration treated Saudi Arabia and the Crown Prince?
Well, Saudi Arabia had been the first stop by President Donald Trump when he began touring the world. That's how important it was, going to Riyadh, being feted by the royal family, launching this counterterrorism center. And the Crown Prince had been central in developing that relationship, both with the president and his key advisor, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. And the two young men, both young fathers, had become very good friends. They talked by WhatsApp. They talked late into the night when Jared Kushner went to the kingdom. They had a personal and a professional relationship. And so the Crown Prince was considered one of the Trump White House's most important allies.
So for 2 years, as I said, Robin, at least until now, we had a sharp distinction between the former president, his administration, and Joe Biden. What happened?
During the Trump administration, the CIA did an analysis of what it believed happened to the Saudi journalist on that fateful visit to the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. And it came to the conclusion that the Crown Prince had approved Khashoggi's murder. But what, of course, Trump prevented from happening was the release of that report. And that fell to Joe Biden after he took office. He had promised during the election he would release the report as is required by American law. And he did that this last week. And it confirmed what everyone had always known, what the UN had said in its own investigation, that the Crown Prince not only approved of the murder, but that the team, the hit squad, 15 men, were part of his broader rapid intervention force known as the Tiger Squad. And that there was no way that the Crown Prince would ever not have known about this and had to have played a role. What's, I think, shocking about the aftermath of the report's release is that Joe Biden did absolutely nothing to punish the Crown Prince. The United States introduced sanctions of a handful of Saudi operatives and introduced something called the Khashoggi Rule, which will henceforth prevent American visas from being granted to people suspected of abusing, repressing, or murdering dissidents and journalists. But the shocking thing is that after all of his promises, Joe Biden did nothing to honor Khashoggi's memory or to punish the Crown Prince.
Yeah, because as you say, the CIA report basically fingered the Crown Prince as being at the top of this operation, approving the murder of Khashoggi. What's the rationale, Robin, for basically letting the Crown Prince get off scot-free?
Well, this is where I think the administration is coming up against a lot of criticism, because the calculation was that the Crown Prince, who is in his mid-30s, will rule the kingdom for potentially 30, 40, or even 50 years, that he has consolidated since becoming the Crown Prince in 2017, all five channels to power in the military, in the economy, in internal security among the clerics, and that the idea that there will be someone else in the royal family who could topple him is unlikely and because Saudi Arabia has been a strategic partner of the United States, that Joe Biden, I guess, in the end decided that he had to do business with him. But this has created an enormous backlash in Washington.
What hold does the Saudi regime appear to have over successive American administrations, Democrat and Republican?
The relationship really came out of the first meeting between Franklin Roosevelt, just a few weeks before he died, and Ibn Saud, the founder of modern Saudi Arabia, in 1945. They met on a ship in secret in the Suez Canal, and Franklin Roosevelt understood that oil was going to be important, increasingly important, for post-war industry and to fuel American cars. That relationship deepened, of course, after 1973 and the quadrupling of oil prices. And as Iran, during its revolution, no longer was a pillar of U.S. foreign policy in the region. So Saudi Arabia took on more and more importance. What's striking about today is that the Khashoggi report came out just at a time the U.S. is increasingly energy independent.
Yeah. I mean, very telling.
Now, it doesn't need the kingdom very much anymore. Now, it argues that because of tensions between the United States and Iran, that it needs allies close by. But the fact is, Saudi Arabia needs the United States far more than the United States needs Saudi Arabia.
I mean, what is it also about the Crown Prince, for example, Mohammed bin Salman? Because you give this roll call of all of these people, some of whom would be progressive heroes in inverted commas, Oprah Winfrey, Bill Gates, Michael Bloomberg, Michael Douglas, Bill Clinton. They've all fated this Crown Prince. What is it that he seems to have over certain parts of the American elite?
When he came to power, he had promised that they would open up Saudi Arabia, that he'd diversify the economy, that he'd provide greater rights for women, that he'd allow more kind of a social life for people outside the home. So he is still very popular in Saudi Arabia. The problem is he has not followed through on many of his promises. And even when he does, he sometimes is hypocritical. For example, on women's rights, there was a wonderful young activist. All she wanted to do was push for women to have the right to drive. I mean, shock, horror, drama, probe, just to drive. And the Crown Prince promised that women would get that right, but he nevertheless arrested her and several other women activists. So there's a great hypocrisy. The Crown Prince clearly is willing to act against anyone who criticizes him or challenges him, even on the most basic human rights issues.
Robin, you know this area of the world intimately. You've written authoritatively about it. You've been in Iran. That was the reason we spoke to you the last time about the 40th anniversary of the Iranian Revolution. I'm not in any way suggesting that the Iranian regime is in any way benign. But I wonder, if you were an American decision maker and you had to choose these days between Riyadh, that is Saudi Arabia, or Tehran as an ally or as someone to even just keep on side in a general way, is it possible to make that choice?
It's a tough choice for an American government, given the history after the revolution of the seizure of the U.S. embassy and American hostages that really reshaped how America viewed itself. It was a moment, especially coming shortly after the Vietnam War, that America felt very vulnerable and not like the superpower that it claimed to be. I have asked that very question of many foreign policymakers, and they will tell you off the record that the more natural ally is probably Iran because of its people, its rich history, and given the fact that women vote and they're members of parliament and they can drive, never any question about that. They've won Nobel Peace Prizes and awards at film festivals in Cannes. And Saudi Arabia is one of the most repressive regimes in the world. It's a tough choice, and so it's, you know, not an obvious choice. But in terms of the size of the population, the fact that Iran has the 14th largest military in the world, and that strategically it faces not just the Middle East, but South Asia, the volatile Afghanistan, Pakistan, and some of the former Soviet republics, that it is strategically incredibly important. But again, it's not, it's in some ways the devil's choice.
Yeah, and one that you and I fortunately don't have to make a decision about. Always good to talk to you. Robin Wright, she's a leading American commentator on the Middle East, a writer for The New Yorker. Robin's written many books. The most recent, I think, Rock the Casbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World. Robin, great to talk to you again.
Thank you. And just as a reminder, Jamal Khashoggi had been a friend of mine for 30 years, so this had a deeply personal as well as professional impact on me.
And this is the Religion and Ethics Report.